The Kiwi dairy has been a cornerstone of New Zealand life since the 1930s, not just a source of food and household essentials, but a newsagent, a post office and a centre of the community. Well, is that still the case? A new exhibition at the Sargent Gallery in Whanganui is diving into the world of the corner shop. What's its future squeezed between garish supermarkets and sneaky online shopping? Assistant curator of the Sargent Gallery, James Hope, has been wrestling with the legacy of the New Zealand dairy. Kia ora, James. How are you?
Kia ora, Salim. I'm very good, thank you.
Before we go any further, how do you define what a corner dairy is? Is it the same as what they used, what they call convenience stores in the States?
Yeah, I guess so. I suppose every Western country has its own name for what we call the dairy. In Australia, they call it the milk bar. In the United States, the corner store, and the UK, the corner shop. They're all sort of part of the same family of these small outlets where you can sort of buy anything food related.
I think it's significant that we call it a dairy since we've got an entire country completely built on the dairy industry.
Yeah, it's interesting because that sort of goes back to when dairies were sort of cropping up all over the place. There were shops that were only allowed to sell milk and dairy products, and they became known as dairy produce.
Was this because there were so few fridges in people's homes? I mean, the fact is that you had to buy it every day, otherwise it would go off.
Yeah, so this was pre-supermarket, and they were only allowed to open at certain times. And they were the first to be allowed to open on Sundays. So they had a distinct advantage over other grocers and other sorts of markets. Well, it seems they came about around the turn of the century, last century, around 1900. And there was a lot of migration from particularly the state of Gujarat in India. So there's a legacy of Gujaratis owning dairies. And because they were British subjects, they were able to buy or lease property. So they came over here and initially were hawking fruit and vegetables, selling door to door. And then they became settled and they were able to buy a shop and started selling their produce out of the shops. And so you'll find that the dairies of today have a long lineage of being owned within one family.
I know that it's always been a place where migrant communities could get their start in this country. I mean, I'm surprised that Gujarati have been around that long. I remember back in the 70s, you would just as often have Greek families maybe, or even Dutch families, I remember, and then Chinese. There were just a lot of different, if you like, recent arrivals who decided that that was going to be their toehold into society.
Yeah, and I suppose that's the way the dairy was set up, because it was it didn't require all that much capital to set up. So it was quite easy for someone, if you were a migrant, to own your own business.
The other advantage, of course, is it was a family business. You didn't have to worry too much about employing people, because half the time your own family were going to be the people working with you.
Exactly. But it's a sort of double-edged sword, because dairy owners work incredibly hard and incredibly long hours and don't make all that much profit. I think sometimes the common perception is because the dairy sells items for higher than the supermarket that they're sort of ripping people off, but they operate on incredibly slim margins and getting increasingly so.
So how did the idea of this exhibition come about, James? Because, I mean, clearly it's something you've put a bit of thought into.
I was actually just driving past a dairy, really. It was evening and the sun was setting, and this particular dairy is just a wooden house. It's got the dairy on the ground floor and living area up the top. And it had this huge yellow sign that said open, and it just seemed like a classic sort of New Zealand scene that you drive past all the time. But I was thinking about exhibitions and It just jumped out at me.
So what was the idea? To do something that reflected the history of dairies, the concept of dairies, or did you allow the people who are going to be working in this to sort of free associate, so to speak?
I guess it's about the concept, you could say. There's the content of the dairy. We've got ceramics that resemble sweets and confectionery or drinks or household items that you can purchase from the dairy. And also, the dairy itself as a built structure. We all sort of have an image of the dairy in our minds. It could be like a suburban sort of bungalow shop with the shop out the front, living out the back. So we've got, corrugated iron, wood, a lot of ceramic objects that mimic other things. So we've got Simon Lewis Ward's, who makes jet planes out of glass and other sort of lollies, and makes the paper packet that the lollies come in out of ceramic.
Who are some of the other artists that you've got involved in this?
We have Wayne Newell, Glenn Haywood, Gina Matchett, Ada Leung, Erica Van Zon, Scott Eadie, Lauren Lesite, Jay Hutchinson, Madeline Child, Oliver Kane, and Joe Sheehan.
And is their brief to all make things that you would find in a dairy, or is it broader than that?
This was actually all existing work. I didn't commission anyone to make things, although a couple of the artists did remake works that they already had made. Erica Van Zon has these built ice creams. They're also ceramic of a sort. They're made out of air dry clay, painted with acrylic. And Wayne Yule has made, they're called Scully Pops. They resemble lollipops. They're made out of resin, but with skulls in different colors. So when you walk into the exhibition, it sort of instantly reminds you of the dairy and all those different things that you can enjoy from it.
I mean, that implies that there's a sort of a visual language that you associate with dairies, isn't there? There's a sort of a brightness to it, a primary colour thing, you know. I mean, is that something that you're reflecting in this exhibition?
Yeah, there definitely is a visual language, and that'll be part of the colour scheme of the exhibition. So we'll be using the tip-top colours, red, yellow, and blue. They're primary colours, yeah.
One thing about this year is suddenly the dairy owners found themselves as frontline workers, didn't they, because of the pandemic. Did that give the sector a shot in the arm in a way?
It's hard to say. They were considered frontline workers alongside all of the supermarkets. And of course, the supermarkets are the main competition of the dairy. When the supermarkets opened in, the first one opened in New Zealand in 1958, and their hours of operation steadily increased. So the dairies didn't have that sort of advantage of being the only ones open Saturday and Sunday. I guess it was interesting how they were seen as essential workers, but at the same time, they're in a position of such precarity. And I was interested in that tension between the two.
How important they were, but how risky it was as well.
Yeah, exactly. Because they've got a whole lot of other things to contend with as well. You've got the uptick in violent robberies as a result of increased prices for tobacco and things like that. So it's become quite a risky occupation, you could say.
Once the supermarkets got their foothold in New Zealand, as you say, as long ago as the late 50s, early 60s, it's astonishing to me that dairies managed to keep going. Do you have any idea what kept them viable?
I suppose they are quite adaptable. They can diversify really quickly because they don't have the economies of scale that you have with the big supermarkets. They've got that disadvantage, but they're also quite nimble. One of the inspirations I took when devising the show was this documentary that was released at the beginning of this year called The Changing Face of the New Zealand Dairy. And one of the dairy owners in that in Auckland goes to great lengths to source the very best flours and display them outside his dairy. So he's known as the place where you go for the best flours. So if dairies are able to diversify what they're able to offer, then I think there's always a place for them.
Somebody was suggesting also that they're popular with people who find going to a supermarket a chore and a bore, you know, or in some cases they may have mobility issues. It's just very handy to know that you've got a shop that's literally 100 metres away.
Exactly. And the dairy can sit at the heart of the community. The shop owner can know your name, know what you always get. So it would be very sad if all these dairies disappeared from our landscape.
Do you think that's likely to happen, or are you optimistic about the future of the Kiwi dairy?
I don't know. I'm trying to think back the last time I visited a dairy, and I can't actually remember, so I don't know. It's hard to say. I guess they'll always have a place in New Zealand's collective consciousness. There'll always be a nostalgia factor, and for that reason, I think they'll probably remain in some form in the future.